This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Can we shout amen? Amen. How many of us are excited to be here? Very quickly, we're moving to the final session, which is hearing from our older women. Reading Titus chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women." Say, teach the younger women.
Teach the younger women.
To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You hear mommy was talking about how Mary had the culture, you know, of even submitting to older women, you know, and she went to Elizabeth. So today we're going to be hearing from a few of our older women in the house. God has laid it upon the heart, you know, of our mom in the house, you know, to bring these people forward. They are people that the Lord has done a major work in. You know, the Lord has raised them, and we want to be blessed by their journey and by their praise report. Join with me this afternoon as I bring up one of our mommies in the house. Put your hands together as I welcome Mommy Mena Sadiku. You look so beautiful, ma. Thank you so much for being here. I want to bring up my sister. Put your hands together as I bring up Sister Eniola Hazan. Hallelujah. Lastly, I want to welcome Sister Didara Eguaku. So expectant to hear you pour out to us. One of the things that hearing praise reports does is that your faith is built up. You know, you find that there are places where you can relate. They say some things and you're like, wow, you know, and you just fetch judgment and you fetch life. So we're here to fetch pockets of life, you know, and I'm so expectant as they begin to share with us. It's such a pleasure to have you again, ma. We know that the Lord has led you. It's been how many years of being married now?
17 years.
17 years of being married. And the Lord has done a great work over the past almost 2 decades. What has your journey been like? How has the Lord led you from season to season? I know there are different pockets of life, different junctures where the Lord met with you, altered you, instructions that came, things you had to die to, you know. We just want to hear you bless us, mommy. Thank you so much, ma.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the Lord met me quite early. You know, I got saved at before I was 10, like 7. I had people coming around because I actually grew up in a Muslim household. Yes, my mom got married to my stepdad, who is a Muslim. So that was where I was, and I was a practicing Muslim at home. But because my biological dad was Christian, I was a Christian in school. So I was doing CRK, but at home we're Muslims. But because my mom is actually from a Christian background, her siblings that were staying with her would go to church, so they would take me along to church. Deeper life at the time, so with those deeper life people. So when those, my aunties, you know, they were in boarding school, when they go to school, the deeper life people will come home to take me for any meeting. And because my stepdad, who I grew up to know as dad, I knew my dad too, but the closest relationship of dad was my daddy at home. So he was a staunch devoted Muslim, but he allowed me to, you know, go to church and all that. So that was where I started my walk and my journey with the Lord. But as I grew up, the Lord led me to the church where I was taught and nurtured, which was a word of faith, very strong word of faith church. So that was where I met the Lord, and I started my journey. I would go to church, you know, and practice at home until a time came. I told my mom I was not going to do, because I had finished reading the Quran and I was on translation, and I said I was not going to continue again. I said, no, go on. It doesn't stop you. You know, you don't know whether you find yourself in an Arab country and you need to speak Arabic and all that. I was like, I'm now a Christian, and I'm a Christian. I think I was about 12 as at the time, you know, and I told Daddy that I was not going to continue in this path. This is where I am. And then he was like, fine. No problem. So that was how I continued my journey. So at 16, when I finished secondary school, because I left secondary school on the day I turned 16, but about that time, I was going through a struggle in my heart, because we had this neighbor that, you know, was coming close to me. He was a man that much, much older than me and all that. So he was coming close to me, telling me nice words and all that. And I was getting, like, carried away. And then in church at the time, Pastor Tunde Bakare was invited to come to church. So at that time, I was only going to church Sundays and just Sunday services. I would go to church and come back home. But that season, I came for that program. My parents allowed me to come. And then he preached. I'm saying this for a purpose, because the word that he gave has been one of the words that helped me through my life's journey. So he taught from James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray you one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. So that word came to me very strongly. And I was looking for who to confess to, because I knew I needed to confess this fault. Like, there's somebody else in my life apart from my parents, you know, and was telling me things that. So I was looking for someone like, God, who am I going to tell? I can't tell my mom and all that. And then the Lord in his wisdom helped me. I was going to church one day and I just passed a tall woman. She was looking very tall from behind, and her hair was shining. So I'm like, this is a very beautiful woman. So as soon as the bike turned, I passed the woman, and I now turned back. Like, who is she? And she turned out to be my reverend mom. We call her reverend mom. That's my reverend's wife. I just saw the bike man, stop. And I came down. So she was the first Elizabeth in my life. Yes, she's the first woman that I was able to open up to. I told her everything, and God used her mightily in my life, you know, at that years to disciple me and to raise me and lead me in that journey, you know. And then, so I continued my journey until the time came for me to get married. I didn't know that it was that season, but a lot of brothers were coming around, you know, and at that point in my life, I knew I was never going to marry anybody that was not in submission. Apart from other points, one major point for me was a brother that is in submission under authority. And then my pastors must say yes. So it was not just my own yes, but the yes of my father in the Lord and my leaders, even without much knowledge. So that was a criteria for me. And then my husband came to serve in Kano. That was 2005. I was in Kano. He came to serve in Kano, and then God brought him into the church. I was still in the university at that time, in my final year. At the time I was rounding up with school, I started working in a cyber cafe that was owned by my pastor. And my husband too got a job in that same cyber cafe. So that was how we became friends. So we got talking. But I always used to sense that there was something about this brother. But I didn't like him for marriage. I just wanted him to be my friend. So we're just good friends. But anytime that thought would come, I would just resist it. So anytime we had meetings in the office, I would just pick a fault with my husband. I would just resist it. I never waited on it. My pastor would say, why are you always picking fault with this? He will marry you. You marry this man. The way you are just resisting everything, I think this will be your husband. I said, Pastor, no! No, I reject it in Jesus' name. I don't want, you know, why? I really think that number one in the choir, he was in the choir too, but he was just a very quiet brother on the instrument. Me, I was the sister that would sing. I was in drama. I was a dancer. So I wanted a brother that was so, like, out there. He was just so, yes, the guy, he was just so quiet, very quiet. He wouldn't say much, you know. But we used to gist a lot, too. But I just wanted a more charismatic, outgoing person, you know. And then there was something else. I used to be the one cleaning the bathroom in our office. So my husband would walk overnight and wash his shirt and hang it there. So there was this particular scent of the air freshener that would always attach itself to his shirt. So when he wears that shirt, I'll just get angry. So it was just carnal. It was a very carnal sister. You know, those were the things I never waited, like, Lord, you know, what are you saying? You know, I just kept on resisting it until I went for my youth service and then I met another brother. So by the time I met another brother, that was the time my husband now proposed to me. And I refused. I said, no, no, this is, you're not the one. You know, it took a long while. I went through my dealings and I kept on waiting on the Lord. Like, God, answer me, show me who this person is and all that. By the time the Lord will show me, I still didn't see that he was the one. The brother that I met during my service, I brought him home. I said, of course, I told you I was going to marry only somebody I submitted under authority under my pastors. And when they came, they said, no, he's not the one. So I said, I'm sorry, I cannot marry you, you know. But they kept on telling me that. So I was half in obedience. Like, I agreed with them when they said it was not this brother, but I disagreed when they said the sense is this brother. So while waiting on the Lord, praying, we had this annual program we used to have then called Ingathering. So I was like, Lord, I want you to speak to me during Ingathering. You know, I know that there's so much happening in the realm of the spirit. I really wanted the Lord to speak to me during Ingathering. And then my husband had gotten a job by then and had moved to Lagos. So he came for Ingathering on the Saturday of the program. As at that time, he had moved on. He said he was done with this proud sister. Because at that time, I was a proud sister. So I'm sharing this testimony for a reason. That Saturday in the night, I had taken permission from my parents that I was going to stay over in the church with some of our brethren. So I went outside to wait for those people that I was going to their house. So while I was there, I saw my husband. I said, Chris, Baoni, how's your journey? He said, fine. Really. And so because we stopped really, really talking much. So I left him and then I now met Benga. Benga is my friend from school. We were in secondary school together at university. But when my husband came to Kano, him and Benga became best of friends. So, and I started saying, Benga, I was your friend before Chris came. And now, because I did not agree for Chris, you don't want to be my friend again. You know, I just talking, just, I was not just in talking things that, that's how my, one of the elite bets in my life, Auntie Yetunde, came. She just said, Mena, wa muferi. So I went to meet her. Hey, Auntie, she said, Chris da. Money, Mori. I saw him. Like, I saw. She said, where's Chris? I said, I saw him. She said, why are you not gisting with him? I said, oh, because I'm gisting with Benga. Like, I've not seen Benga for a while. So she just said, hey, Benga, ti o ni fe lo mba gist. Chris to fe fe o ni ba gist. Ah, scales. She said, you are gisting with Benga that will not marry you. But Chris that wants to marry you, you don't want to gist with him. That was how, like, all the scales fell. Everything, like, I don't know what happened to me at that instant. But I had been praying from 1 Corinthians 10 that I was pulling down strongholds in my mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, taking thoughts captive. So, like, I'd been doing a lot of warfare before then. And that, my deliverance came when she said that. So because truth of the matter is that I came from a background that when you talk of marriage, there was no example. So it was like that I was going in a particular trajectory. The enemy was pushing me, you know, and I wasn't seeing it until that point that Auntie Yetunde came and said those words to me. She said, well, priest, Tirelo Mitofefe, but immediately he came into the church today and saw you. He knew that you were the one. And he has gone to meet the pastors. So, toba mwe, kogba, toba mwe, komagba. Like, if you like, agree. If you like, don't agree. Like, he's coming again. Like, another chance has opened up. If you like, take it. If you like, don't take it. I just want to tell you. I'm like, Eshema. And that, long story short, that's how the Lord delivered me.
Wow, wow. Please, a round of applause for Auntie Yetunde. So we'll come back to you, Mommy. I just, you know, a lot of things really stood strong for me in that, you know, story, that praise report. One of the things, you can be carnal, but your salvation may be your being under. Because you are blind to see your folly in that season. But if you are under and you have people that can talk to you and tell you the truth and change it for you and you listen, mercy will find you. You know, so don't joke with the people that God has put you under. Don't run away from people that tell you the truth and lean more to the people that always agree with you. That, oh, okay, if that's what you are feeling, no problem. Stay that place where they are telling you the truth and they are always, you know, changing it for you in quotes. Don't run from that place. Your deliverance is there a lot of times. You know, thank you so much, Ma, for that, you know, that journey. We'll come back to, you know, the judgment and the indices for even that decision making and, you know, those fightings. I'll come to Sister Eniola. How many years have you been married, Ma?
4 years. We'll be 5 in February.
Wow.
So 4 years
wow.
Now.
Wow. Wow. And how has the journey been? You know, how has the Lord led you? I know there have been dealings, you know, seasons of abasing, you know, seasons of utter dependence on the Lord, coming into understanding. I know you didn't meet your husband here, you know, but you both journeyed and the Lord brought you, you know, into this season. You know, how has the journey been?
It's been a lot, but I would say one thing that stood out for me in every season is covering. The place of covering should not be joked with. Because looking at my background, you know, I'm from a family where my mom died when I was 5. And it was a whole lot of struggle. You know, my dad was coming around. My grandparents were like, no, you caused her death and everything. So I happened to stay with my grandparents. Then at some point, my grandmom left my granddad because she has her own house. So I had to, then I was in GS once, I had to stay with my granddad. So I was like the mommy of the house. So that happened up until when I gained admission, you know, even before then, because I had liberty. Most times the liberty we have is not because of now. It's because the Lord is wanting to deal with us. If anybody knows Agege, I grew up in Agege. I was curious to be precise. So it's just like a rough coming up for me, but then the Lord saw that he would have me perform, like live for a purpose. He kept me.
Hallelujah.
As at 16, I had boyfriend. You know, the guy took me home, like everything was very fine. The parents accepted me, blah, 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 blah.
16.
As at 16. Yeah, I'm saying this because most of us, we have liberty. And if we play with that liberty, it will tell on the purpose the Lord is having for us. So most times, the liberty the Lord is giving for us is for us to grow up to a measure. But then, because the Lord saw that he kept me, he kept me, I gained admission into the university, you know. And then I met Momiola and Pastor Abraham. And that was how it started for me. You know, the Lord came to me that that guy you are following, he's not the one for you. The instruction came so strong, you know, and having to break that relationship then was so difficult for me because how do I explain someone that, you know, it's just like then, he has taken me home. He has taken me home kind of a thing. But then when the Lord said, you will just kill yourself, you know, the picture of the kind of home that was raised kept coming to me. I had no choice that if I didn't want to tread this path, my parent tread, I have to desist and follow instruction. And then I called. It wasn't easy, but then I have my life. I have the purpose of the Lord upon my life. And that was how I let go of that relationship.
Hallelujah.
So when my husband came, fine, we attended the same school, we attended the same fellowship. He happens to be an ESCO, and, you know, I was also an ESCO. Till today, he used to tell me that, what kind of look did you give to me when I came? Because I looked at him like, Kilo Shelley. Because, fine, I knew I had, everybody's always having this picture of Mr. this, Mr. that, you know. I had friends in other schools, I know their parents, you know, that I'm very sure that after marriage, we are fine that I'm going to either the UK, you know, this UK, this Canada, all of those fantasies were there for me. But then it was a journey of uncertainty for me. Looking at him, we are like the same level. So, I'm sorry, what do you have to offer? Everybody that comes from a home like me would want somebody that has like at least... I'm suffering here. What do you want to offer kind of a thing? But thank God for the place of covering. When he came, you know, and Sister Shemsu had a fair share of Pastor AB's dealings too. But Eniola, this is not the time for you. And thank God, my sisters, please listen. It is not for now. The listening to instruction is not for the moment, because marriage itself is a journey. If you are not well built, you will crash. You will crash. The brother you are fantasizing about today, tomorrow, it will not even look like it. But it is the journey in the instruction you have received that will keep you going. So Pastor said it doesn't want, like, it, even Sister Ella said, hey, has he been buying you gifts? Is it because of the gift? Blah, 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 blah. So yeah. But then I listened because I knew what was ahead. I listened, and thank God I listened. So, you know, it was not even after 2 years, we're still on the journey, like, okay. Pastor Abby said, okay, go for service. I don't even want to hear anything relationship for now. You go to service. And truly, I met different brothers. In short, there is one, you know, this my UK abroad thing is still there. Two of them, one is in the US, one is in the UK now. And then, you know, NCCF family has been like, Mama, I was a subdonor in that. One of them was a publicity secretary. Mama, we have a wedding to plan. But then the brothers too, you know, we're doing Kolobi. I mean, I was like, I had any potential. This was finished with a first class. Yes, I'm very sure he's going to get a scholarship and everything. But then God just did it that, because the fear is still there. Pastor B will call. I couldn't talk to him that there are other brothers here that they are doing kolobi. But then he still said, is he calling you? I say, yes, okay. Let's just give it time. Let's give it time. And we gave it time. And thank God we gave it time. See, and there's something Pastor B said then. He said, hastiness is the gene of a man called Lucifer. So if you are hasty, you can rush into marriage, or you will not rush out. So those words stood with me. And, you know, it's been like a driving force for us. So even when we got married, that it wasn't looking like it. But because of the dealings and the journeys we've gone through before then, made me still stand up to now. We may not have, like, now, maybe I'm not in Canada now. I'm not in the UK now, but I'm heading to Zion.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Okay, so talking about seasons, there are a lot of seasons. In these 4 years, I've seen. I could remember then when doing well in Otta, I was working in the bank. You know, one of my things then is I want to work in a bank. You know, I'm just this career person, you know, I love career, I love to be independent at the same time. You know, anybody that is envisioning a guy in the UK too, now also want to have something that matches with that kind of a person. So then too, but the Lord saw my soul, he saw my makeup. He knows that if I had gotten, I worked in the bank, and the instruction came so strongly on us that we should move from Otta to Lagos. How do we measure that? We're in Otta. Our house rent for a comfortable house then was 120. And we are coming to Lagos. Warehouse rent is almost $1 million. Hey, Joe, what we are paying for? But then, because You know, that is why the place of leading and the place of the man you are marrying to, it took the place of submission to before I could say, okay, let's go ahead. Because it was like we emptied all of our accounts and we came to Lagos. But then I was hiring a banking job, in quotes. In short, I'd already done, you know, what it takes to, I'd done the CBT test, I'd done everything, I'd done documentation, you know, I'd done medicals. I was just, everything was already, you know, planned. You know, we're even waiting for them to send me the posting letter so we could have our accommodation and close to the office and the likes. And the posting letter was not forthcoming. And I reached out to the HR. Till today, when I see that bank, they are, you know, I just reached out and I just said, we are sorry, we can't move on with you. How?
After medicals.
Nobody hears that and says, something is wrong somewhere, but I'm grateful it didn't work out because probably I would have been on the island and maybe I would have done some certifications and, you know, those my curly wigs, my heels, and probably I would just say, hello, sir, I'm so sorry, please, can I'm having a meeting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know. It just didn't work out for the reason which I'm thanking the Lord for. And but then I noticed that even that season, I believe that I didn't do that season well. I didn't do that season well. For every season we didn't do well, there will always be a recap. And when the recap comes, it will not be palatable. So therefore, when the Lord is bringing season upon us, it's for us to discern and know what the Lord is wanting us out of that season. You know, I quickly bailed myself out of that season. I called a few persons and, you know, before I know it, I got a job. And though it was not my kind of job, but then I really needed to, actually I wanted to do something. I don't want to be hired. Because I believe that I must be earning now. I'm coming from Ota to Lagos. Our house rent, our this. I wasn't seeing the Lord as a sole provider. I wasn't seeing. I just believe that, you know, I must contribute. I must work. I must work. This work of a thing was just all around me. I must work. I like already bailed myself out of that season. You know, and I got the job, and you know, I did the job for a couple of years. So when the pressing was upon me to resign from that job again, I said, resign me. No, I don't think I want to resign now. I don't want to resign. I met mommy. Mommy said she passive. This passive. Is it? You know, I had a lot of doubts around me because then we already had our second child. So how are we going to feed? I know my husband is working, but then the place of still like, I still have to contribute as a woman. Like, my husband was like, don't let this season go over you again. So if you don't marry a man that is journeying with the Lord too, you will pay for it. Because the Lord might be bringing you to a season and the man is not aligning. As much as you are aligning, if the man is not aligning, it's still zero. And same thing is applicable. If our husband is aligning and we are not aligning, it's still the same thing. Because we keep dragging each other back. And for how long are we going to do that? For how long will the Lord keep coming to build again and again? So for everything, we should not waste the Lord resources over our life.
Okay. Can we put our hands together? Okay. One of the things, when she mentioned that first relationship she was in, that she had to break, you know, I just sensed that that was an instruction for someone. You know, no matter how difficult that relationship seems, you know that that relationship is not in tandem with your journey to God, you know, and it's best to break it. We may be even hiding some things. Your pastors may not know. Your self-pastors may not know. You may not be telling anybody, but you know that thing you are harboring, you know, let it go and allow the Lord bring you, you know, nearer, you know, to his purpose. One of the things she also mentioned, this, you know, heaven knows all of our souls. Say, heaven knows your soul. And so they customize dealings based on your soul. They know what you want. And what they want, it's not really that they don't want you to have it, but they don't want that thing to have you. They don't want that thing to have you. And so they will take you through dealings and leadings, you know, to purge those lustful desires. Hallelujah. We'll come back to you, Ma. Sister Didara, I want to hear you on living purposefully as a single woman. You know, how was your journey like? How did the Lord lead you? I know you lived with a servant of God. How was it like? How did the Lord raise you in that season before you entered the estate of marriage?
Hallelujah. So after school, you know, I got posted to Lagos. And at that point, I just wanted to be in Lagos so I could be close to where I could be attending church. We had finished from school and I started attending a GFM meeting. So in my mind, I told my parents had, like, they told me where do I want to serve. I said, I want to serve in Lagos. You know, there will be opportunity for me to do many things, pursue different certifications, you know, and all of that. So, but I was not particular about where I wanted, the company I wanted to serve. So after service, I left service. I even left camp before the time of posting, I think because of convocation at that time and all of that. So they said they were going to post us to somewhere close to our house. My location I put there was Surulere, because that's where I stayed with my uncle. When I went to the local government office to collect the letter of posting, I saw Ikorodu, Imota. So was even asking me, did they post you to Ogun State? Because apparently, Imota is so close to the border that people consider it as Ogun State. I was like, I don't even understand this one. The whole idea was to go there and try to get reposted, you know. But we went to the school. I remember meeting with the principal, and he was like, no, you cannot reject us. You cannot reject us. You can look for places around, you know, and stay, that we can get accommodation. It was me and one other lady. You know, she was just another copper. So I went back to, I think I told P. Mike at that time that, the man said he's not going to reject me. And P. Mike was just of the opinion that it's just a year, you know. It's nothing to also get too worked up about. You are still in Lagos at least. You are still close enough. Korodu to here is not far. It's one bus, actually. So that's how I got a place in Ikorodu. Prior to that, like maybe an SOS or so before then, I went with my copper uniform. So Pastor Moses saw me and he was like, oh, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'm going to Ikorodu. You know, I said, hey, I live in Ikorodu. I said, oh, okay. I was happy for free ride. So I entered the car. He was not like, where do I stay? I said, oh, I'm still trying to get a place. And I said, oh, no, that there's no problem. That his house is very big. That if I want to stay, I can come and stay. He has a number of rooms. Nobody's staying. I said, okay, sir. I went and got the house. I packed my things. I went to the house, very close to the school at Imota. I think it was the next weeks after that, you know, and another SOS, his wife now saw me. She just looked at me and just, are you Didara? I said, yes, ma. I said, cool, my husband has told me about you. So she went home like that. That was the first time I think I went to their house. And then I went there. I think that day, I think I helped them to just wash some dishes. I met the children and all of that. And then I now went back to the apartment. Something was still not setting. But I think it was now like weekend. And I said, okay, at least since I'm not teaching during the weekend, I'll go and spend the weekend and then I'll come back. That's how I went to spend weekend. And I did not go back to the house again, you know. And that just began another phase and another journey for me. And I was the only one that was staying with them at that point, you know. And somewhere, even though I had not really been kind of exposed to, staying in pastor's house, you know, bringing brethren life, you know, all of that, serving, but I could not stay in a place and then I would not serve, right? That was just the understanding. Like, you could not just supply. So before I go to school, I'll bat the children and at least prepare them for school. Then I would end up going a bit late, but I shall still hurry. And then sometimes pastor, when he drops the children, he will now drop me a bit at the bus stop, and then I will now start my journey to school. And I remember him saying something like that. He was thanking me. Actually, that, please, thank you so much. Got me in my mind somewhere, God forgive, I was already complaining. I was already like, I'm always going late to work. But that day, he was thanking me that, thank you so much, that is really a help to them to be preparing the children for school and all. And that's when I knew that, oh, I was actually doing something right. Okay. So just actually serving, actually helping. When I got there, there was no brother in the house. I used to wash the car. I wash inside, I wash outside. It's not as though I grew up in a house where we're six sisters, right? And growing up, I remember there was a youth leader at that time. One day he came to the house and he was like, you know, that there's really, even washing car, there's really nothing we can't do. Even washing car, we can't do it. That is not a man's work to wash the car, you know? So at that time, as small as I was in secondary school, I'd be climbing stool to wash the top of my father's car because I could not even reach, you know? And so when I got to pastor's house, there's no how pastor will now be the one washing car. I'll now be sitting inside the house. Up until the time, there was now a brother in the house that came around, and then other sisters came around. But there was just that wanting to serve, you know, just wanting to at least show up, wanting to actually, you know, put in the effort, help to cook, help to clean. You know, even if you come back from school, you're tired. There was even a business in the house that we were running, you know, a shoemaking business. And, you know, you're part of the family, you go all in. You know, you're out to serve, you're out to help, to see how to make, you know, the lives of the pastor that I was staying with at that time, you know, better. Of course, as I journeyed, as I heard more of this water, as I understood more of the message, you know, it made sense to do it even better. And to do it more intentionally. So even though I stayed fully with them for just a year, or like roughly a year, before I had to move back to Surulere, and then I was just shuffling Kurdu and Surulere. That's 1 year of, you know, serving intentionally. I know that it was a good testimony. You know, it was always a good testimony at that time. And, you know, that was one of the ways the Lord helped me, you know, even during that period of my life. To walk.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we put our hands together? I was really blessed by that heart. You know, I mean, from what she said, you could tell that there wasn't much knowledge as at the time she, you know, moved in, but the heart to supply. You know, mommy was saying that as a woman, you should not be in a place it's dirty and you are comfortable. You don't feel compelled to do something about it. You know, some of us, there's water on the floor, but you pass by it. Say, there's water on this floor. It's not me that poured it. That's the response to there's water on the floor, you know, or you now go and look for the person that poured it, where you can just clean it. You had even seen it, you know, in the first place. You know, those are things you may not hear often, but those are things that sum up your making as a woman. When she was talking about washing car, I lost my dad at age 7, yet I was already washing car before he died. Because we were all girls, and my daddy taught us, no matter how high the roof of a car is, you must be able to get to it. Not just wash the body. The roof must also reflect that it was washed. You know, you see some cars, they are washed on the body, but the roof is dirty. You've not washed that car. We knew how to climb and just wash that car thoroughly, you know. So we must be thorough the entire, you know, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, ma'am. Coming back to Mommy Mena, I know that you run a business and you have 3 beautiful children, you know, that are such a blessing. I mean, how has it been handling marriage, wifehood, motherhood, business? I'm sure, maybe there was career before business. You know, how was the journey like? And yes, share with us, Mommy.
Thank you very much, sis. For me, like I said, being undercover is like a major stone that the Lord puts in my foundation. So, like a cornerstone. So, it has helped me through my journey. You know, so when I got married, I came to Lagos. And I was already doing my master's before I got married. So, I was shuttling between Lagos and Ilorin at the time because I was doing my master's in Ilorin then. And then afterwards, I tried to get a job, but because of my husband's job, my husband has always, from before I got married to him, he had always been traveling. So getting into that marriage, he was hardly around. So, and one of the things I had known from when I was single was that I didn't want to raise children that both parents will not be around. In fact, I read a book called Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar when I was still single. And in that book, he said that when his children were still in school, he never took any preaching engagement outside town, that during holidays, that was when he would take it. So that he was in their lives before they went to university. So, and I knew that, okay, now my husband is hardly around. I would not want to also do the same thing, you know. So, and before then, when I was still single, one of the things that came to me naturally was cooking and giving food. My default gift is food. It's when I think deeply, that's when I'll add another gift to it. But you, what you would get from me naturally is food. I loved cooking. So when I came to Lagos, I started serving people by cooking, like in church. You have a baby, if you want to do anything, I'll just say, let me cook for you. Let me cook for you. So it was people that told me that, why don't you start this thing as a business? I said, then I'll be a caterer. I cannot be a caterer. I'm going to be a professor, because I wanted to now still study for my PhD, and I studied mathematics. So I wanted to be a professor of mathematics. And my father-in-law was a professor of mathematics. So I was like, I'll not be a caterer. It took me a very long time to introduce myself as a caterer. If you ask me what I do, I'm like, I cook. I could never address myself, because I could not like see it until the Lord showed me. Actually, I dare to ask the Lord, what is my assignment on this earth? You know, apart from like becoming like Christ, you know, and journeying to God, what assignment? What am I supposed to be doing? Yes, and before then, I was always helping people. If you are selling anything, I'll help you to sell it. But I could not sell. I struggled to sell. Yes, and then when I started the business, my husband had to counsel me to stop telling people that I run a business. I should just tell them that I have an NGO, because I could not charge. I'll just calculate the cost of the food, add small. Like in my head, I'm like, why will I charge this amount of money for? Because cooking was natural to me. It was like I was helping you, you know. I was just being a blessing to you. So he said, just tell them that you have an NGO. Because I would always come back to collect money from him to pay the people that helped me. Or to pay for whatever I rented, or I always come back to collect money. Don't tell them you are running a business. So I started going for courses and many things to, you know, change my mind and see that this is a business and this is what you're supposed to do. So I struggled with pricing for a long time until the Lord helped me and delivered me from that.
Wow.
And hallelujah. Then to the glory of God, I'm here. Then talking about the business still, God raised people, you know, people just believed in me. I'm talking about the brethren, you know, they just would always refer me, you know. So I hardly have stuff on social media until sometime last year, I got somebody to help me and then we stopped. So I really don't have ads out there, but God's favor, you know, has been on the business, because I had an experience that he told me I was a food seller, just gave me that name, food seller. And so after I got that experience, I settled into my position as a food seller. So, and he showed me that he was behind me. I do a lot of corporate jobs outside my, what I normally do for the brethren and all that. So it's when I do corporate jobs, that's when I really, really charge as I should. Yes. So God has really been faithful, you know, with the business. Then, talking about managing everything with marriage, my husband not being around, the brethren have helped so much. Being in church, I've always been in church. My husband not being around, I really didn't feel his absence, because there are always people around me. Then that was how I raised my children. I was a triangular Christian, like home, work, church. So that's my movement. So that's where you find my children as well. Whenever I have a need, I show up in church. I come in with so much hunger. Like, Lord, these are the questions in my heart. I need answers. So my heart is so open like a sponge. And I usually get my answers, you know, from the words that come, the instructions that come. I just get direction and leading, you know, for my children. Sometimes in dreams, the Lord will come to me in a dream and I will know. I'll just know something that this person should not be around you again. You know, don't open this door any longer, you know, or go in this direction. I receive clear instructions. Then when we have needs, one of the things that the Lord blessed me with is faith. I have so much faith, like I can believe God for anything. Whatever, like any need that shows up, I'll just have faith. You know, and that's why my husband, one thing about my husband, any part of the world that he is, if and he's facing any challenge, he's just like, I need to talk to my wife. I need to talk to my wife. Once I talk to her, I'll be fine, which is the truth. Once he talks to me, and that thing comes to me naturally, any challenge I face, I just see the solution. I'll just see, okay, if we do this, okay, it'll be all right. And that's how I'll just tell him like that, ah, Kole, this, okay. And then he'll be fine. The machine, because he works a lot around machines, he'll just tell me, oh, the problem has been solved and all that. So him not being around also, and me not working in a traditional job, gave me so much time. So I spend hours in prayer. I pray a lot. I have friends. Me and my friends, we pray. So those things helped to shape me into the woman that I be. Because earlier, I used to tell my friends that I don't dream. That's what I would say. I don't dream. I hardly dream any serious dream. But I told that as the years went by, the Lord will just come to me. And the way he comes to me in the dream is that it's when I'm about to wake up that dream will come. And then I will just get that experience. And he will just show me what to do or what I'm not doing right, that I should stop doing, or what I should go on and do. So it's been a journey for me, word, spending so much time in prayers, spending so much time in the word, and then in worship. You know, let me just share this testimony. I spent a long time worshiping. So sometime last year, I discovered I had a lump in my breast. But it was a season that the Lord had given me instruction to keep worshiping. So every morning I would wake up and just spend time in worship. And that was when I discovered the lump. I was not like, is this a lump or is it a figment of my imagination? You know, and my husband was not around. So I called him. I said, I've noticed this thing. So he said, don't worry, when I come back, but just keep praying. And he prayed for me. And then he came back. I continued that worship thing for 18 days. After the 18th day, I knew that I was done. Like, it was okay. Not that I stopped worshiping, but in that time I was spending. So he came back from his trip and said, okay, let's go to the hospital. So we went to the hospital and confirmed that there was actually a lump. The cyst, they said it was a cyst and that they needed to take it out and I should come to the hospital. They fixed the date for me. But between the time that I went to the hospital and the next time I was going to go, I serve. Apart from other things I do in church, I cook for men of God. Like if we have a program or something, I'll just cook and all that. So I kept on doing that. I never told anybody. I just didn't have the liberty to share with anybody. Before then, I'm somebody that, even when I was trusting God for the fruit of the womb, once we gather together and they say, when we finish, do you have any prayer? I'll just say, I want God to bless me with the fruit of the womb. They will pray tomorrow. So that's the kind of person I was when I was growing. I was quick to share whatever is wrong with me in the midst of the brethren. I believe so much in the power of God. But as the years went by, I was able to know when God has settled something. Don't worry. Just continue. So, and that was that last year. I didn't share with anyone until the day that I had a dream. And in the dream, I was serving. I was serving food, you know, to the people that God asked me to. You know, I was just busy in that dream, serving and attending, you know. it was a long dream. I want to shorten it. I came out of the dream and I came out with joy. So much joy. And I felt like God had done something for me to check. Meanwhile, I had gone to the hospital. They tried to remove the cyst. They could not. The thing was moving around. It was moving around. It was moving around. So if they want to pierce it, it will move. If they want to... So they gave me another appointment and I just casted my cares. Long story short, I woke up from that dream that day without that cyst. That was how it disappeared. I went back to the hospital and they confirmed it was no longer there. You know, because I actually wanted to study medicine and I didn't get medicine. I always used to want a mathematical part of medicine. That is a mathematical part of medicine. I'm a mathematician. I love math. So finding myself studying math, I battled with, oh, what am I going to become? So when I now finally agreed to become a professor of mathematics, they now said, no, it's food that you should be selling. You know, but I found out that in the place of where I was told, in that same place of service, God has continually met me at the point of my need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, so when mommy will always say, worship, worship. How many of you worship in your secret place? The place of worship. You know, when she was talking about her husband always being away, another person can spend that time sulking, feeling bad, you know, feeling like, ah, why don't I have my husband with me, you know, to live the cozy, you know, sweet, happily ever after. But she's always busy. She says she uses, she prays a lot. And it has made her even relevant, even in her husband's business, even on that trip, when he faces issues, he call. And she says she's able to fetch answers, you know, in the place of prayer. You know, so we should not be idle. Tap your neighbor. Say, don't be idle. Some of us have so much time, but we spend it worrying. I don't have a job. We spend it worrying so much. You know, or is even business you are building. You've not taken, she said she went to inquire. She went to pray about it. This thing, what do you have to say about it? And the Lord gave her an experience, showed her. I said, you are a food seller. You are a food seller. And she dropped the PhD aspiration, you know, to sell food. And the Lord is meeting her at the point of her need with that food. You know, so what is in your hand? You know, some of us, we are just lamenting. I need a job. What are you doing right now? You are serving, but you are despising your service. You are in a household. You don't think that what you are doing is relevant to your making, to your building, to your salvation journey. You know, what are you doing? Are you doing it faithfully? Are you inquiring of the Lord? You are just sad. You are just feeling bad. You don't know what the Lord is saying. On Wednesday, mommy was talking about having a word in every season. You don't have a fellowship with the Lord. You don't know what the Lord is saying. Everything she was saying, you keep hearing, the Lord told me, I had an experience in the place of prayer, in the place of worship, you know. So before you fret, take it to the Lord. Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So if you're anxious, better take it. You know, take it to the Lord. Another thing she said that really stood out for me, especially for married women, mothers, you know, she was saying one of the things she realized is that she wanted to be present, you know, to raise the seed that the Lord had given her. And then, okay, my husband is not around, so I must be present, you know. And the Lord honored that desire, you know, and brought instructions and led her, you know, this way, you know. So those things, you know, go a long way. I pray the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Okay, so Steniola, you picked up, we'll just pick up where you left off. You said you still had a few things to share, marriage, some coming under, you know, very quickly.
Thank you. So I was about sharing the crash work the Lord did in me about 6 months ago. So, you know, after I built myself out, that was why I said the place of dealing, we shouldn't be hurrying. Instead, we should seek the mind of the Lord to know what the Lord is wanting to do with us at that time. So the first dealing, I felt I didn't really do well with it because I quickly, you know, sought out myself. But then it came again. But when it came this time around, you know, I still struggled. You know, I perceived it was time for me to leave my job. That was September last year. But then it was a lot of struggle for me. I wasn't ready to leave, you know. But then January 2025 this year, it came again. And a lot of things surrounded it, a fraud issues, you know. It wasn't just aligning anymore. I had to just resign. Even the resignation process, I had to pray with some of my sisters. So that is why, you know, in this journey, you don't journey alone. Who are your sisters? Are your sisters who you just chit-chat with, or who you can call that, sis, I'm having these issues, so let's pray. You know, I just called my sister, I want to drop my resignation letter, but then, you know, you want to drop resignation letter and you are afraid. My sister, we prayed together, we had a couple of, and what she said was, you will not be implicated. She kept saying that word to me. And lo and behold, and thank God for instruction too. Mommy said, don't just resign because of the position you are occupying. Do the proper resignation. Left to me, I was tired. I wanted to just ASAP, like, I'm not interested. I want to leave. But mommy said, give them, if it is 1 month, give them the 1 month. And thank God I gave them the 1 month. It was during the period of 1 month I discovered a fraud issue. I dropped my letter on a Monday. I discovered the fraud issue on a Tuesday. What if I had not given them the 1 month leave notice? It have been what? Because I was the old signatory to the account. I had the token. I had everything. How it happened, I don't still know. Thank God for prayer that went ahead. And thank God for process. Thank God for prayer and thank God for process. So the Lord saw me through that process that I wasn't implicated. The way the matter died down, I don't know. Because I wasn't the one that stole the money. The way the matter went, I didn't know. But then, you know, I resigned. That was in February. I already calculated in my heart, you know, I'm smart. I have a couple of people. I'll do cold emails. You know, I'll speak to friends. I'll speak to colleagues. So by, you know, April, March, I should get a new job. The Lord was looking at me like, sit down there. They look. You know, the job was not forthcoming. I'll speak to people I know. But then the Lord showed to me, you know, sometimes we read scriptures and we don't really know what the scripture is about. At some point, I was restless. At some point, I was just like, you know, but the Lord told me that, is it this worry that would give you what you want? And then my head started, you know, I had to just sit, inquire of the Lord. And, you know, one of the things the Lord did that even shocked me most was, I wrote my letter. One of my aunties that I didn't even know that had resigned just called me. I'm sending some package to your house, so I'll send it through bus. Ensure you collect it, though. You know, she packed everything to sort. She knows I'm working. Well, how will she buy, you know, sort? The soap she bought for me, everything lasted for months.
Wow.
And it shows to me that the Lord is a faithful Father.
Yeah.
All he just needs for us is to trust.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's a way we can believe. We trust. You know, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord because our name is on a payroll of an organization. They can be a giving in church and say, Emma, worry, Mama, we trust alone by 26th. So will you still say that word when you are not on a company's payroll? That was what the Lord did to me. You know, I mentioned that I love earning my money. But the Lord see that you can't continue like this. I want you to trust in me as a sole provider.
Hallelujah.
And then my journey began. I did all I could. Rejection, email, in short, there are some that we go to. I already calculated when the salary comes, you know, this is the portion. Just was just looking at me. But they were words for that season.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 23. As little as that is ministered to me. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Any child now is what we would want to teach them as the basis. But the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. He now brought the picture to me. We know all of these Fulani herdsmen. They are the one that looks after where the cattle will find food. Does the cattle worry? Even when they are faced of issues, the cattle, can they fight? It is the shepherd that will till the ground. I just thought of it that when the Lord is saying he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Even worrying is a sin on its own. Then I began to trust the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, it started unfolding.
Hallelujah.
Is it for somebody that will call me? A friend already called me like, okay, she has this thing she wants to do, but I referred her. Something I can do. I was like, I referred her to somebody else. For a whole year, she didn't give that contract to that person. Immediately she heard I was out of the job. She said, it's you, I want to do this thing. I said, how? Even when I didn't really have much understanding about it, I took it up. I did it. And up until now, that contract is still paying me.
Hallelujah.
You know, a lot of ideas started coming. Hallelujah. It's good to trust the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to trust the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to trust the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands? Can we lift our hands and give God thanks this evening?
For the thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil. My thoughts are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to bring you even to an expected end. I have an expected end in mind. I have an expected end. There's an expected end. There's an expected end you are to come to. There's an end. There's an end in view. There's an end you are to come to. You must have the end in view. Have the end in view. Have the end in view. In every decision juncture, have the end in view. Even at this decision juncture, I want you to have the end in view. Have the end in view. See the end in view. See the end in view. See the end in view. The end. See the end in view. See me at the end. See me at the end. See me at the end. See me. See me. See me. See me at the end. See me. See me at the end. I am the author of your journey. I am the author of your journey. I am the author of your journey. The author of your journey and the sole consideration for every choice. The sole consideration for every choice you make. I am the author of your journey. Look to me. Look to me. The author and the finisher of your faith. Look up. Emino telike kintafaya, estefelian cotelientafaya, eprendeliento, eprendeliento, estopelia kintavata, estopale, epenia topali, eftheliantofali, efrendeliatofali, ebrendo, hembrendo, hembrendo, himbrendo, hembrendo, himbendo brendo, ebeliendo brendo, hembrendele brendo. I hear you are playing with fire. 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 I am the sole consideration for your choices. I am the determiner of your choices. I am the consideration for your choices. Don't look down. Look up. 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 Said the Lord Jesus.
Amen. We will look up in the name of Jesus. Receive the mercy and the help. Thank you so much for blessing us. We're going straight to question and answer. Please, if there's anybody that has any question, please.
Good afternoon. So I had this question from when the brides were talking. I know when she was talking, she made mention that there was a mistake and that she would not maybe want her sisters to also go through. And I just had a question in my heart of a mistake that my sister maybe made and I would not want to make. And if she has the liberty to maybe just say what, okay, this was what was kind of a mistake and if we can learn from it.
The mistake was how we submitted to us spiritual authority concerning the relationship. There were some process that we didn't go through. That was just a mistake. So I think
it was the instance of of course, they had their persuasion, but they had gone on without, you know, the church authority being aware. And that was, it was not a mistake. They were the one that called it a mistake. I knew, you know, it was just that aspect of not carrying authority and allowing, you know, their communications, like starting a relationship already without actually following proper order. So that was it. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so we have one question here. I understand that marriage is also a place of refining as a child of God. My question is this. How do you be all those things to your husband and not lose yourself? That is, not losing your identity. Or do you adopt another identity to become that for the rest of our lives? Or should we just focus on being a child of God and take it from there, one day at a time?
Amen. Okay. When we say your identity, number one, when you come to Christ, there is an identity you will lose to be able to partake of his own identity. So, because that's our own identity is not safe. It's not safe. It's not salvation worthy. Our old identity is ourself. And now, marriage is a tool through which you actually lose yourself to actually gain your true self. So, your true self is who God reveals to you. Your true self is what is in scriptures. The real woman you ought to be is actually the woman that has been revealed. So every other identity, I would say it's a privilege to lose it. Yes, it's a privilege that the Lord calls for it and then he takes it. At the same time, let me just have a flip. I'm sure the person is thinking also that it's because I'm married now, does that mean I cannot go see movies? I cannot be free? That one depends on you and your husband being subject to the Spirit. Will I still have liberty to do some of the things I would have loved to do, you know, as a single person? So those ones is your husband, you and your husband, that can now tell that that's not your identity. That's not who you are. Being free to do some things. If you say you want to going to watch a movie is not who you are. Do you understand? Aha. So those ones are, you should ask yourself, do we have the grace for it at this time? If there's no grace for it. So in marriage, you will learn to do things out of, you know, leading out of the graces that you have. I don't know if I've been able to balance it. So she can.
Mama Meg said, I think the person is coming from, and that's what the word peddles, that marriage stifles you. Now, what Mommy Meg was saying, actually, there's an identity crisis, and we must know. And me, I don't know about you, but I refuse to accept my present identity as the identity that the Lord has called me to be. Meaning that I'm a better version of my previous identity. But even this present version is still not the version that the Lord wants me to be. Now, marriage, and you know, I guess the person is talking from all the standards that was raised today. You do this to your husband. He must do this. You know, it just looks like when I'm doing all this thing, what is remaining? Nothing is supposed to remain of you. If you cannot change for your husband, you can't change for Jesus. You will just be parroting, I want to be like Jesus. So you must see it that, you see all this standard raised. It is the way for your conversion. Because, excuse me, look at it now. They tell a woman, submit. And I say it, when scripture says submit, a natural woman or a earthly woman cannot submit. We're not born to submit. Forget it. Forget our tenderness. A woman does not to her own husband. She will submit to other things because remember, a woman can submit when there's something that is in view for you. But to say to your own, A woman can submit to her pastor, to her boss, but to her own husband, it becomes a big deal. So that commandment, Ganga, is a tool of conversion. So how you will know that the identity cocoon will not remain is that when, what is submission? Submission is you taking your divine place. You taking your place as help in a man's life. You not standing in the way. Are you understand? That is, it is taking a posture. It's an estate. And that estate, that's why, you know, when they say, because of their weaker vessel, you see that taking makes is a weakness. Because in actual fact, let me tell you, the vision of Eve I have is a strong woman. Because when they say help, when they say somebody help, if I want to carry this pulpit, will I call somebody less than me? Who is going to help me? Is it that somebody who is my strength or somebody who is stronger than me? So somewhere there, my picture of Eve, I don't see that make. One day I'm going to see Eve. I don't see her as the version the world has painted the woman to be. So that posture of submissiveness actually is one thing that brings the beauty expression of a feminine woman. So when you honor and reference your husband, there's a way of change. There's a change it does to you. Honestly speaking, we must learn to use our spouse to sit on the throne. Don't be letting them use you to gather coins. And that is how marriage is ought to be. So marriage will change you. And that self that you think you are losing, actually, it is a rediscovery. Honestly speaking, it is a marriage that you rediscover yourself. That's the version you have carried. It's not the real thing. Accept it and know. You see, the beauty of whatever version of yourself you've known, it comes into more play. It's redefined. So in actual fact, will I lose myself? That self that I'm losing is the self that God wants to go. So that the beauty of what is making me and what he has called me to be comes out. I mean, you look at one thing you note about somebody who has been married for long and has done married well. You know one thing you understand about them? Forbearance. They have handled children. They can't forbear. The way mothers will respond to a child. I see it in my house. You know when they do some things, the way aunties and uncles, a mother, there's just this calmness. It was built with years. Before, we too were like that. The way when you marry, the way you see issues, when you have dealt with a man and you are talking to a man, you know, they say know how to talk to a man. You think, you know, before you are impulsive as a sitter. And then now married, there's another person. Then you see that there's a better version of yourself that you had never met before. There's a Modupe I have not met. There's a Modupe of the future. And I want to meet her. A Modupe that God has used every estate of life to change and turn. I don't know. I hope he answers your question. So are you going to change in marriage? Yes. Yes. If you want to marry and remain yourself, I don't know why you are marrying. You don't have to marry. Praise God.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo CME Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.